Welcome to the Knit More Girls podcast, a mother-daughter knitting production. This week's episode is brought to you by Verena Knitting and Pearlescence Yarns.
This week we have an Easter egg for you, the interview we had with Galina at Stitches West.
Come on, let's get into it. Welcome back, listeners. As Mom mentioned, in lieu of our regular segments this week, we will be airing an incredibly interesting chat we had with Galina. To give you a little bit of background as far as what she does professionally, she's written a couple of books that are specializing in Russian lace knitting. And she teaches workshops and she goes to Stitches events. And I think she's hosting some sort of traveling knitting thing. And all of this will be linked in the show notes. So if you're interested in seeing what she does, please go check our show notes page. We have a couple of other small administrative things to take care of at the beginning of this week's episode. And given how compelling a speaker Galina is, I wanted to tell you guys, and so did Mom, how this interview went. There's a little bit of background noise because they were tearing down the marketplace at Stitches. And of course, when people see microphones, they make more noise, right? But that's okay. So Mom and I grabbed Galina and we sat down in this lovely, quiet, dimly lit corner.
It was very nice.
It was very nice. And a couple of my friends called. Lisa was, she invited us to go have drinks that night. And I said, well, you could join us back at the convention center for drinks and we're going to be talking to these people. And I don't think Lisa had heard of Galina before, but there were four or five of our friends besides us sitting there with our hands tucked under our chin, listening, just with rapt attention.
Spellbound.
Completely spellbound. And this really reminds me of how important an oral history can be, because Andrew comes from a family that doesn't really tell stories, and our family tells a lot of stories. And listening to Galina talk, there was definitely a mixed age group. I think Katrina is
14,
and she got to listen to Galina talk about how she grew up and how she started knitting and how she built her business, which is all in today's episode. I'm really, really excited about this. I feel like this time of year is especially important for telling stories as far as the season is concerned. And I hope you enjoyed as much as we do.
The ads will be before the interview because we don't want to interrupt the flow of the story with advertisements.
So, without further ado, a word from our sponsors.
Verena Knitting's website is not only a destination for bonus patterns and exclusive subscriber content. Now available through Verena's website, purchase hard-to-find yarns as seen in each issue of Verena Knitting. Come on over and visit our newly opened yarn shop at verenaknitting.com and see what we have to offer. And if you have not yet subscribed, all new subscribers receive a free gift from Yucalan as our way of saying thanks for supporting Verena Knitting.
Don't forget to use the subscriber code that you can find on our show notes page, which will be mentioned, the address will be mentioned at the end of the show. Also, if you find yourself inspired to knit some lace after listening to this week's episode, we have a word from our other sponsors, Pearlescence Yarns. Spring weather is for knitting lace. At Pearlescence Yarns, we've stocked ourselves with gorgeous lace weight yarns. From beautifully variegated silks from Blue Moon Fiber Arts and Claudia hand-painted yarns to luscious alpaca from Cascade and alpaca with a twist, you're sure to find the perfect thing to knit any lace your heart desires. We happily ship anywhere in the world. Call us today to place your order. And now we begin a few minutes into the story, but you'll catch up quickly with Galina. Enjoy.
It's okay, good. Some of them, they start to...
I just hit record.
Yeah,
we're just going
to
keep talking.
Just like to start to do some kind of stupid things in their lifetime. Or most of us, they try to find some kind of hobby. What we feel comfortable the most to spend our free time, or even not a free time. Maybe we sacrifice a couple hours of our sleep, you know, it's like just to be so anxious to go, you know, just like, and to pull out your secret, you know, it's like knitting back and start to knit something and start to crochet, maybe touching. It depends you what you like to do the most. For me, when my life wasn't so rosy and not so easy, My life changed completely when I start to develop my knitting habits again. Because I was knitter since childhood. For me, I don't remember when I started to knit. It's like no memory left. And nobody knows when this happened. I remember only the time when my mom, when I was, it's like could go or crawl under the table, she always was scared until death if I pick up scissors, if I pick up sewing threads and sewing needle. She was, beside herself because I can poke in my eye. Who knows, yeah. Sit down, in some kind of damage to do. Not only to our curtains, but to myself. And when she realized I don't have no interest in any tchotchke, no teddy bear, no dolls, nothing. I wanted to do, something by hand. She tried to convince me it's not a real job. It's, not a professional. You shouldn't be artist. Poor artists, they live without underwear. And I thought, my God, they're so poor, they even couldn't buy underwear. Until when later in my lifetime, I got real artists in my life. And I realized what this means to live without underwear. Because he used to work in big theater, opera and ballet company, and I saw how, some artists tried to build their career, really. This is between us, girls, please. But anyway, I start to, show up my creativity and change my life. Probably big change in my life started when I was 6 years old. My uncle, mom's younger brother, giving me as a present celluloid doll. Do you remember? 1956. We had no fancy material, doll, soft and smooth and pinky. I got actually black doll and completely naked. And I was so sorry for her because this was November. I start to make garments for her. And what I did? Every single piece of fabric, what I could reach, curtains, tablecloth, and the home, I tried to little bit borrow from this. Yeah. Yeah, nobody see. I got a lot of troubles because in this time, after war, 10 years later, after World War II, every single, yard of fabric or something what my mom tried to decorate, our not so good furniture, obviously this was, quite damaged. But anyway, I survived. And later, when I went to school, our Soviet system actually developed good, nice school, classes, didn't care who you are, boy or girl, you have to learn to be self-sufficient. This means we learn everything, knitting, crochet, cutting, how to make simple, maybe apron or to replace our white collar on the dark brown uniform. And this told us a lot of, because our policy or Soviet policy was no slaves in our society. You have to do everything yourself. Don't rely on somebody, mercy to sewing button on your winter coat. And little by little, this happened. I start to develop, better and better and better skills to do everything by hand. And soon I realize, if I do this better than anybody else in our family, why I cannot trade for this my skills? mm-hmm. I start to trade, you know, just like for extra candy, for extra attention, for extra everything. And soon, I never need socks in my lifetime. Because what's the point? You wear them 185 days in the winter boots, nobody can see them. This means it only develop holes on the heels. And to pay back all my relatives who were much better with socks construction, they made for me socks. Mm-hmm. And I obviously pay back, you know, it's like to make some kind, another, you know, it's like what they couldn't do. What's good about this, my personal life, I always was busy. I never had spare, boring time in my lifetime. I had not enough sleep maybe sometimes because I wanted to, yeah, because, you know, it's like every Saturday we had dance, ballroom dance. This means you need to show off your garment, you know, it's like what you have on your body. And you know, girls are girls. We dressed up not for ourselves. We dressed up for our friends, impress them. And sometimes what you can get every Saturday, you need to change garment. No way. It's not enough money of your family to mm-hmm. change all these clothes. Yep. This means we cut off a little bit few inches from the skirt. We did ruffles around this. We did shorter sleeve. Sure, shorter it's no big deal to make, yeah? But try to extend the sleeves. This means you need to find some kind way. And I start to develop crochet skills. Mm-hmm. First, my probably hobby was until maybe 13 years old, was strictly crochet. I crochet everything. Doesn't matter what, I crochet hats, I crochet my colors, I crochet the mittens, I crochet all this, you know, just like garments, everything. Where I find little small scrap of yarn, I put in use everywhere. Mm-hmm. Helps a lot. My mom was addicted finder of all these knitted items on the streets. This was excellent sources of yarn because my mom, she didn't put, you know, just like on this kind, you know, just like lost and find, you know, just like facility. No, she put immediately in your pocket and come home and before nobody can see, maybe this is my meeting. She unravel quickly, make a ball, steam this. And another ball. You cannot believe how many balls of different yarn, different texture, different color, different, you know, this like most wool, because in 1960s, 1960s we didn't have yet synthetic, yeah? Was strictly wool. And for me, this was source of my creativity. One of my sweater, what was probably follow me 8 years. First year was one color because was enough yardage because I wasn't big enough. Second year I add some kind color. This means it's become double color melange. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Third year already worn out this part, I add another color. Last sweater, what I knitted out of this yarn melange, had 7 or 8 different colors.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And right now I see on the market, it's become fashionable statement, you know. For me, it wasn't the fashionable statement. This was necessity because I couldn't buy yarn. We had in Soviet Union only 3 types of yarn in our... We had no yarn shops. Mm-hmm. Everything, sewing knitting needles or knitting needles or sewing needles or all this yarn or you know, it's like all this accessory, what you need to create something, scissors, all of them they sold in some department store, together with shoes, together with spray for hair, mm-hmm. with everything. This only big department store, you know, it's like on the little small sections, you know, it's like, and here you can buy this, here you can buy this. When I start to work, and I work as a, many different works I had in my lifetime before when I become really like instructor officially. Mm-hmm. Before I did everything what my mom liked. Because I was the bookkeeper, I was, you know, just like clerk in some gas company. You know, it's like, it was, you know, it's like stable job because you sit on your feet, your butts 8 hours and you sit and some women just sit and watch out of window or pick up their nose, do nothing. I decided no way I will spend this time just for nothing.
Yeah.
I start to bring my knitting and my boss out of office. I pull out my drawer, take my knitting and knit. Because my job was only 1 hour at morning from 8 to 9 and from 4 to 5 just to, you know, just like receive all this paperwork what our delivery guys didn't deliver a certain propane tank for this address. This means I need to prepare for next morning another list of these addresses. Rest of this, nothing to do. And I hooked up all 7 or 8 women in our office to do same. We become like unofficial guild. And everybody knew, you know, this like, what our girls doing there? Oh, knitting. Okay, yep. And we started, you know, just like share our tips. We started to search who knows what trick. Mm-hmm. Because no written instruction, no written, well-written books in this time. We couldn't buy them because, first of all, they are very rare. Second, they are very expensive. And we need to share all our knowledge, what we pick up from our neighbors, from grandmoms, from moms. My mom didn't do anything in her lifetime because her mom was private seamstress for noble family. Sweden noble family from Sweden who built dynamite factory nearby St. Petersburg. And my mom never wanted her mom's destiny to be private seamstress for somebody. And, but what I did when we work for this gas company, we created good, nice, you know, just like tight group of women, we share yarn. We, you know, just like if you have not enough, let's do, you know, just like stripe of this, my yarn right there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And one woman we had in our office, 18 years old, Sasha, who refused to do anything by hands. She sits and reads her magazines or roman, you know, it's like novels, you know, it's like, I remember Alexandre Dumas, Three Musketeers, yep, mm-hmm. yep, she loved to do this. Finally, after a few months, she realized we wear hats, we wear gloves, we wear everything, and she is without this warm, good, nice clothes. Mm-hmm. And she asked me, can you teach me to knit also? Oh, sure. One member, extra member in our unofficial guild. Sure, yeah. Sasha. We measure her. We calculated how many stitches she should have, you know, just like on her front and back and everything. We figure out she will need approximately 800 grams. It's a little bit less than 2 pounds of yarn. Mm-hmm. And she wanted certain yarn, what you cannot buy in the store. This means on Sunday, we went in farmer's market where we could find, you know, it's like buy kilograms, all this hand-spun yarn, mm-hmm. a chunky, clumsy spun, but what she wanted. And we bought like 5 skeins, sent it Hewitt home, and this was Sunday night, yeah? Monday, we recommended to bring this yarn in work at office. She said, yeah. She came at morning without yarn. Mm-hmm. We didn't ask. Who knows? Maybe she spent, you know, just like night to go in movie or with boyfriend. And I was like, we be polite. Tuesday, she didn't bring. Wednesday, we start to nervous. Did she give up? Thursday, she didn't bring. Finally, we start to talk, speak up. Sasha, you spent half of monthly salary to buy this yarn. What's wrong with you? Do you want to knit? Yeah, I want. Bring yarn. Didn't fit in my handbook. Doesn't matter, bring. Fit or not fit, we look at your handbook, it looks like big enough. She brought on Friday ball of yarn, what she put all kilo, 2 pounds of this yarn in one ball. This was my first teaching experience. Be specific. Not to bring one ball. Tell to her, break these skeins. Each skein on separate ball. This means, since this, I remember rule number one to be instructor. Don't assume they understood you perfectly. Always mention what you want to see next hour or next day or next week. That's it. This is my experience to be first time teacher. I was 25 years old. My first interest of Orenburg shawls started probably 1996, 97 or 95. I'm not sure. I don't remember exactly. But when I become financially okay, you know, just like financially. Yeah, I got the husband, I got salary every month. I used to live together with husband's mom. This means mother-in-law I had next door. This means everything was fine. I could spend money for myself. Every month I add my yarn collection, because every month what I did, after when I got money, and usually we didn't receive by check or in credit card, we got cash. This means I never show to my husband how much really I got. I hide something, you know, just like, yeah, oh yeah, oh, you do it also, say.
Everyone does.
Ah,
it.
This is mean universal, yeah. And I spend it, you know, this like in, yeah, like in our department store, little small department store. Each month I bought something, you know, just like good, nice. Most excitement for me was to find yarn from Finland, because I grew up next to Finland, because this is St. Petersburg, only 135 kilometers from Finland border. Finnish border, and I always, you know, just like fascinated by something foreign, the product. And we bought good, nice ball of this kid mohair, color, kid mohair, like 8 rubles was one ball. It's equivalent like $8.50. And this time, this was 1975. It was very expensive, because my salary was 85 rubles a month. You can imagine. I could buy for all my salary, how many? 10 of them, yeah? And this will be not enough for sweater. But anyway, each time when I bought something, I always make little small items, not everything in one sweater. When this sick and tired to wear same hat every day, next month, again, yep, different hat. put this on the side, and later you will use with something. This was my beginning of my stash, because my stash was first mom's find subject, yep. Mm-hmm. Second was my investment, what I did every month. And after, when I realized, you know, this like, actually, Arinburg shawl, very, very desirable piece of garment for every Russian woman in this time, especially when people start to immigrate to United States, or, you know, it's like most of them, they went to Israel. You know, it's like this was, you know, it's like time when all these Russian Jews start to leave country. They were able somehow to get real Arinburg shawls in their luggage, mm-hmm. because they're very light, they're very expensive, and they were not allowed in this time to carry any cash, any items what, you know, just like prohibited to bring through the custom, you know, it's like on both sides of border. And all these people who try to immigrate, they try to, you know, it's like collect all this item what will be valuable in United States or in Europe. Mm-hmm. And one of these items was Arinburg shawl, gossamer. Not a warm, like this very heavy warm shawl, like a gossamer. White color, gray color, you saw this, yeah, on the my booth. And this become a, what is this called? Golden rush, yeah? When everybody tried to grab, you know, it's like, and was impossible to buy them in Arinburg gossamer web in our department store. Mm-hmm. We need always to find sources, who knows whom, who knows whom, who knows whom. Finally, I got this source, who knows whom in Arinburg, and I purchased my first Arinburg gossamer web or shawl for 2 months' salary. This was, I remember, 175 rubles. This was middle of 1970s. Mm-hmm. My former mother-in-law almost kicked out me from home because for her opinion, to spend 2 months' salary for something what handmade, homemade, she was city girl. She wasn't so, you know, this like educated in this subculture, like knitting, yeah. Mm-hmm. And she really blamed me. I'm not wise spender. For this kind of money, I could buy diamond ring in mm-hmm. this time, or at least blue jeans, how she told me, yeah. Mm-hmm. Because blue jeans from somebody Fanny also cost us 2 months' salary. Yeah. Uh-huh. Because Russia didn't produce any blue jeans. Blue jeans, especially male with label Wrangler, or, you know, just like blue, what is this called, another Levi Strauss, mm-hmm. you know, just like this was unbelievable, you know, just like we couldn't wait, you know, just like to wear them anywhere where we go. But anyway, this was my first experience with Arinburg gossamer web, white color. I enjoy to wear, because immediately when I wear the shawl, my level of my status of prestige jumped up. You see? It's everywhere probably same, yeah? Mm-hmm. Yeah, what kind of car you drive and in what district you live, yeah? Neighborhood.
Yep.
But for us, for Russians, nobody care where you live, you know, just like in no car, yeah, in your, yeah, yeah, we have no garage, you know, just like we had public transportation very well developed. And we, but to dress up for Russian women, it's very important. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And one of these items, Arinburg shawl, bring us a little bit, you know, this like, you feel good and you look good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But anyway, this was my first shawl. And I didn't know in this time my this shawl, first my purchase, will bring me so far, mm-hmm. 5,000 miles across the Atlantic.
Wow.
Because when my shawl become not so good condition after couple seasons, my sisters, my girlfriends start to wear this borrow from me. My shawl become, you know, this like needs to be washing black. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But everybody knows probably who took my classes what this means. Wash and black. You have certain technique, certain trick to do this very quickly without hassle. I decided, I know everything. You know, it's like I'm so smart, so ambitious. I don't need to ask any questions. I figure out if this black, I can do this myself. And I decided, okay, now what? Mm-hmm. To wash, I know how, you know, it's like in soapy water. But to black, probably you need some kind of push pins, yeah? Mm-hmm. I bought same amount push pins what my shawl has all these scalloping border points, 160 something. And I wash my shawl and I start to push my first side of my shawl. 33 or 35 of them on top. Until when I finish all the 35 teeth, all my shawl was dry and shrunk. Like, yes. Whoops, yep. I wash again the shawl. I wet now much more water left, you know, in this shawl. In case if this will be, you know, just like shrinkage so fast. I ask my dad and mom to help me to stretch the shawl on the spare wall of our sunny room. For 45 minutes, this struggle with all these teeth around four borders of this shawl, my father told me how stupid I am, how ambitious I am, how I am ignorant, why I didn't ask proper questions when I bought the shawl, why I didn't do this. Finally, he said, supposed to be not the easy way to block this damn shawl. And he was right. Because now, since when I already did this damage to shawl, because after couple wash, my shawl lost shape, you know, just like needs a lot of repair, I start to pay attention what I learn, what I read, what I saw, how another woman to do and manage their garments. Mm-hmm. And the rest of history. I become more and more, you know, just like expert, more and more, you know, just like helpful tips for my friends. And finally I realize, I can make money actually to do not only teaching, but to make garments. Because I quit all my jobs. I was a bookkeeper, I was a clerk in this gas company, I was librarian in the music school, mm-hmm. I was, you know, this like a wife to serve my big name musician husband. But finally, when I realized, you know, it's like, why I need to spend all my life and all my effort if, you know, just like people just take advantage of this. Why I cannot ask money for this service? And I started my little small under the table business in Soviet Union. This was beginning of 1980. Okay. And this was illegal, to do anything, you know, just like on the private, behind curtains, you know, just like your apartment. But I took a risk. I developed network with women who had very powerful position husbands, mm-hmm. who never opened their mouth to point it, you know, just like where she did this garment. They start to pass to each other my name, and I had probably clientele list, 100 women with very powerful husbands. What actually helped my ex-husband to raise his career. He became a conductor, he became almost first viola. This is, you know, it's like an orchestra in Kirov Theater. And, you know, this like now it's completely different story. 1986, Suddenly, perestroika glasnost. You remember this time?
Yes.
Gorbachev and Reagan become, you know, this like almost like peacekeeper. Yeah, they tried to change overnight all this, you know, this like dictatorship in Soviet Union to democracy. But according to Russian people, it was big mess in the economy because everything start to collapse. All infrastructure start to collapse. But was good, nice moment in my lifetime when I met a lot of Americans who start to come as a culture exchange between Soviet Union and United States. Mm-hmm. And I become as a their official host. My ex-husband was official host from Kirov Theater Opera Company. Mm-hmm. And this amateur opera company from Surrey, Maine, they start to come every year to do performance, you know, just like, yeah. And finally, when I realize it's good, nice connection, I can actually learn a lot from them. And they were very pleased with my, you know, this like knowledge of city, of a different, you know, this like culture, the aspect of culture. I organized for one woman from Maine, she's vet. She had little small vet clinic. I organized tour on vet school in St. Petersburg in this time. I organized some, you know, just like good, nice excursion in school, in kindergarten. You know, it's like I start to connect people by their interest. Mm-hmm. And soon, you know, just like I develop good, nice relationship with most of them because my ex-husband was big shot. You know, it's like everybody wanted a piece of action from me. But, or piece of me, yeah. And, yeah. And finally, I receive invitation from Maine to visit finally after 4 years when I took care of them in Russia. I receive private invitation to visit Maine in February.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is it worse than St. Petersburg?
Are you kidding? This was forever spring for me.
No.
This was so nice. But I already moved to live. Yeah, I already moved to live in Novosibirsk in Siberia with my ex-husband new position as an artistic director and conductor of Thought Opera Company of Russia. We moved to live in Siberia. And I had choice to fly 9th of February or in beginning of August. And when I asked my friend in the middle of night, I called to her and I asked, Wendy, when you would like to see me? Two possibility, or in February in 1 week or in August. She said, come over right now. I flew from Novosibirsk to Leningrad to get my visa in American embassy or American consulate. And this time, no direct fly from St. Petersburg direct to America or New York. Mm-hmm. This means I need to take a train overnight to Moscow, and only from Sheremetyevo I have to fly to New York. This was huge mistake. I shouldn't do this anymore in my lifetime. To fly 4 hours from Novosibirsk to St. Petersburg, 4 hours, 4 hours time zone change, time change. Another sleepless night because I need to be in front of an American consulate in St. Petersburg 6 o'clock in the morning to stand up on long line to get visa. And another big mistake, to take train right away in same night to go to Moscow.
Oh, dear.
I came in United States, in New York, in JFK airport, half of dead. I couldn't understand not only English or any Russians. But what I did, when I start to pack my stuff and all presents to my new friends in Maine, I decided I need to bring everything what I have good, yeah, in my closet. Because I am ambassador from big city, 1.5 million city, Novosibirsk, big population. I need to present my country best what I could. I brought wonderful natural fur coat of polar fox, white color.
Wow.
Wonderful my hat, also polar fox, white color. Polar fox, this is very soft and very white, almost like snow white. High heels like this, and no sidewalk in the Stonington, Maine, where I could show my beautiful outfit. This is worth first oops.
It's okay.
It's fine.
We can fix everything later.
Yeah, but I couldn't believe. This is, you know, this like winter, green grass, no snow, next to ocean, sunshine, you know, this like all this, all day. Maine is beautiful. And I spent it like probably 2.5 months in Maine. And I developed good relationship with local crafty people. Because they knew who I was at this time. They knew what my interest is. They did show to me all their, you know, just like source of fiber, how to they develop this relationship between each other, how they slept from one workshop to another workshop, how they did, you know, just like their presentation. I visited the many little small craft shows. Was very interesting for me. It's completely different than I used to do in my motherland or my Russia. This means this was, you know, just like how they developed all these skills and what they did to actually promote their little small dinky businesses. And I was very impressed. And with help of my friends, we found some kind through the Washington, D.C. International Practical Training Program for me. This was for 18 months. I could stay in the United States. I could earn some money. I could learn all this aspect of women's crafts. And this was beginning of my career. But I didn't touch yet anything with Orenburg yet. Because when I finish this 18 months program, I need to choose in what direction I could go, what kind subject or what kind crafts I need to go and to help to develop, you know, just like good, nice marketing skills with this subject or with this good, nice product. I had, what I had? Nesting dolls, bulky and blimp, they are not so comfortable to carry it in your suitcase. What else I had in my mind? Some carpets, you know, just like almost like Caucasus mountains carpets, but they're
very heavy.
Ooh. You cannot even move, you know, just like by yourself. This is doesn't work. Wooden spoons, you know, like who is interesting? And I'm not a wood carver. This out of my, you know, just like skills. And I decided, another way was interesting. What moved me to Orenburg Shals? Fishermen from this Stonington, small fisherman village, 1,500 people lived in the summertime. You can imagine in wintertime, almost nobody there. Yeah, 4 people. And they start to look at me, you know, this like, and honestly told me, you are not Russian. You are foolish us. I cannot speak English. I showed them my Russian passport. I said, what's my return ticket back home to Moscow? I'm Russian. No. You don't act like Russian, you don't look like Russian. How I don't act like Russian? Oh, you smile constantly. Why you don't look like Russian? Ah, because you don't wear uniform what Russian women supposed to wear in wintertime. Because I brought all my nice clothes. I said, what kind of uniform? Where did you see uniform? You never went out of the cross the bridge from your village. We watch CNN, really? Uh-huh. Yeah, and I start to watch CNN. Because Ted Turner, who was owner of, from Atlanta, Georgia, and with his former wife, Jane Fonda, they did all this reportage about Russian life, and they always focus on the babushka, what wear like a uniform, dark gray or dark brown, something on top, and looks like a tank. Yeah, do you remember this? And I said, this is not a uniform. This is warm, very expensive Orenburg shawl. Are you teasing? Are you kidding? What's good Russia for? Vodka, caviar, nesting dolls. That's it. No, we have wonderful items, art form, what Russian women in the Orenburg region developed through the 7 or 8 generation. Oh, you know, just like cashmere grows on the bushes, not on the goats. Yeah, this was, And I start, when I start to go back and forth between Russia and United States, I start to bring hunk of this fleece just to prove what kind quality fiber we have. I start to bring this kind fleece, this kind fleece, this kind fleece. And when I do this work, did these workshops all around the New England, this my fiber disappeared in 5 minutes. And I decided, why I need to give away if this so good, this means has price. And I brought, and we packed in the little small Ziploc, put a price, in 15 minutes disappeared all this, and I got some money. But when I start to understand more concept of business, I decided, probably to bring raw fiber, it's not good for Russian knitting community, correct? Because fiber you can sell very cheap. But if you will start to sell already product what made from this fiber, maybe you can help them and you will get some kind benefits from this. And how my business started. By accident, because one of fishermen told me, you do not look and you do not wear uniform what Russian women supposed to wear. That's it. And this is, now you can see where I am. Sure, with help of my husband, George Girard, who met me later in my lifetime. But when we met each other, this was 1994, October, time change, life change dramatically for all of us. Change completely in Russia. Now Russia become in very fast, you know, just like track to develop all this capitalism. And what Russian society pick up from capitalism? Of course, bad side first, worst side of capitalism. And because they didn't think about reputation, they thought about grab right now everything what you able to grab, because tomorrow somebody will do this for you and you will be out of pasture, correct? And I did came back from United States, back from this international practical training program. I finished this 18 months, it's gone. With all my knowledge how to manage little small businesses, with my knowledge, you know, just like how to promote this all around Europe and United States, I came and I was, what this better to say, devastated of change. Because now it's huge different. Because I missed these 4 years completely. I didn't grow up, or I didn't develop this sense of this, you know, this like another different culture, a different way to do businesses in Russia. And I already got divorced because my ex-husband decided, you know, it's like I'm too much pain in his, you know, this like neck because I'm become independent, more smart, and, you know, this like confidence woman. He replaced me by another bimbo who was...
Pardon. It's okay, bimbo is not a bad word.
Yeah. But anyway, you know, just like, and this was good for what's happened in my life. Yeah, because after 12 years, miserable marriage and miserable relationship, this was relief, big relief for me. But now, when 1994, when my business... for my opinion, didn't work so well how I would like, and no help from government, no help from, you know, just like big shots in the Moscow culture, Minister of Culture, because I knock on every single door just to ask, you know, just like help, because I saw what Orenburg Crafts or Orenburg Cottage Industry go through. Because subsidy cut off, no marketing skills from this Orenburg region. They knew how to knit, they knew how to raise goats, they knew how to spin, but they had no skills to get out. They had no idea for how much they can sell this. They lost all this quality control because now capitalism, you know, just like everyone for themselves. And now women become, you know, this like subject of exploitation of middlemen who didn't know these crafts from beginning, how I knew. They start to buy by pounds all this product and sell on the fairs somewhere or down street of Moscow. They didn't keep quality. And women become also smart. They cut corners. They start substitute good quality fiber, less expensive, cheaper. They start to substitute another fiber for, you know, just like, not so good quality. I cannot say this front of you, it's not polite. But, you know, just like reality check, it's already there. And quality of Orenburg product went dramatically down. And I start develop to my relationship with certain group of women whom I could trust and who rely on my expertise as a marketing director. I had, in beginning of my career, this was 1991-92, I had approximately 200 women who needed strictly for my Skaska company. And I marketing them in Italy, in France, Foire de Paris, I did many, many craft shows and jury shows in the United States until somebody asked me, do you do workshop? George, what is this? I asked George because this was in Amherst, Knitted Guild of America, was 1995, August. And I said, George, what is this? He said, I have no idea. Okay, you have no idea. We will ask somebody who knows better. And I asked Margaret Stove from New Zealand because I knew Margaret Stove from New Zealand since 1991 when she did workshop all on the East Coast. And I met her privately. She was in tears when she saw my little collection, like 20 shawls, from my, you know, just like knapsack, and she thought they are disappeared. Then she thought they never exist because she heard something from her aunt and her grandmom and from her mom. Because later, when Margaret Stove asked me some favor to do in Orenburg for her, I didn't realize she has actually connection with Orenburg because one of her mom's sister was born in Orenburg.
Ah.
And, you know, this, like, this is huge, big, you know, this, like, for me was step to ask Margaret Stove some suggestions. And suddenly, in the middle of night, we hear fax machine in apartment of Orenburg, of our St. Petersburg apartment. All these pages after pages, zoom, 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 zoom. 17 pages Margaret Stove sent me by fax machine. All her menu, what to do in all this, you know, this like aspect, what to do and most important, what not to do in workshop. And, yes, and this was, you know, just like I call her, she is my godmother in lace business. Because without her help, I could, you know, just like do a lot of stupid, you know, just like mistakes, what could cost me my career. But, you know, just like obviously I was smart enough, patient enough. I always tease people when they ask me, oh, you're patient, incredible patient. I always told them to live with all these Russian husbands. You have to develop this patient. And but anyway, is it time already?
No, you can keep going.
Oh my God, how long?
As long as you'd like.
Yep. And
have a safe drive.
Yeah. Now, since 1996, when I did my first workshop tour around United States and Canada, I do this too often, nonstop, sometimes 8 straight months of the year, every year. But, you know, this like, if I didn't do this, who can do this better than me? I know everything. I know all aspect of Russian life. I know all this technical aspect of their crafts. I know what Russian knitting community went through. And I know what they expect from me also. Because right now, if I didn't write a book, first my book was published by Interview Press 1998, this could be lost completely. Because when this my book came out, and also a couple articles what was written in English language came out by different magazines, one of them was Interview Press, Peacework Magazine, May, June 1995 by Melanie Falik. Another was later published by Knitters Magazine of XRX. Alexis did this interview with me and published wonderful article about me and Orenburg lace. This was, I think, 2000, one of this issue. And later, a few more articles came, you know, by different magazines about this subject. I feel much more confident this art form will not disappear yet. Because this is, you know, this like time, very difficult time. Every probably country in the universe went through this revolution, all this, you know, this like turmoil, when this become, you know, this like not this subject to support women's craft. It's always who suffered first. Quality of these crafts. Because women try to find cheaper way to produce something and to earn money what they need to already yesterday to pay for their, you know, just like medical bills or their facility or to put simply meal on their table. And what right now with Russian knitting industry in Orenburg region. But little by little, I hope everything will be fine, because since 1998, when my book came out, it's already 2 books published in Russia about this subject, but not so technical. Only, you know, it's like almost like a coffee table book with a lot of pictures, a lot of history, a lot of you know, just like rumors and gossips, but it's already start to bring attention, you know, just like of people about this subject. If we will not do something very dramatic to change this situation, if we will not find to buy this product from women, they will stop to do this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And a lot of questions I got in my booth, why I do not carry this yarn from Russia? It's no big brain to bring yarn, correct? Mm-hmm. Try to find yourself yarn or go to home goat. For me, from beginning, this wasn't a question to bring out of Russia this kind of yarn. Because if Russian community, and especially some kind middleman, will find out how much valuable yarn this can be in another country, mm-hmm. like in Europe or United States, women will forget how to hold knitting needles. They will start to produce yarn instead of wonderful garments.
Yep.
And for me, this was, you know, this like very, very serious issue. Because I promote this product, I started this business, and I would like to see in other generations will continue this lace-making business instead to raise only goats, comb them, and to sell this yarn. This is what, for me, I think this is what I accomplished, mission accomplished. I actually brought attention not only in United States to this subject, to this Orenburg lace, but also in Russia. And what else I can say? Now looks like we can go in Italy if you would like in summertime.
Nice.
Yep, because now, you know, there's like the interest of everywhere. I just canceled trip to Great Britain because I couldn't do this. To fly in 36 hours, I need to come from Oregon, West Coast, to Boston to fly, and I have only 36 hours to participate in some crafts fair or fiber feast in somewhere near Manchester of Great Britain. I just said, no, I cannot do this. It's too much. Next year I will go. Where we go next? Next we will go in Alaska.
Oh.
Yeah. Birthplace of my favorite yarn.
Kiviet?
Kiviet, exactly. Because when people ask me what you can substitute of this wonderful warm feeling and fuzzy, my first choice will be Kiviet. Kiviet is the most luxurious fiber in the earth and most warm. Because if you know, Kiviet lighter than cashmere twice and 8 times warmer than merino wool and very thin microns wise. Kiviet, one of my first choice. Second choice, of course, cashmere. Mm-hmm. Cashmere, I like to work with any cashmere, doesn't matter what you will give. Only I don't like very short staple, because longer staple cashmere for me is much, much more comfortable to spin by hand and also to knit with this. Cashmere right now comes in different shades, different colors, different weight. You can find in the market, you know, just like good source of cashmere. I think everybody knows where to find this cashmere. Cashmere and silk also very good combination because I like open work. I don't like, you know, just like if I spend 6 months to knit something and couple months later nobody can see this bunch of holes because 100% cashmere will eat all these holes. Better if you will start to purchase for something for lace project, always look for components of silk. Silk helps to keep memory of your knitting. And another choice, what another choice, what I like? Oh, I like Pygora. Actually, in the California, in Colorado, and Oregon State, in Washington State, it's very famous Pygora breeders. Mm-hmm. And Pygora, it's like breed between pygmy goat and Angora goat, what produce more hair. But if they slept with each other and did good, nice product, baby, goat can carry very beautiful fiber undercoat. Undercoat, this means what goat has, goat as an animal. Fiber on top their body. And some goats have double coat, some goat has single coat. Mm-hmm. Single, this means mohair. Double coat, it's almost like cashmere, between cashmere and kid mohair. Staple is long and very soft and silky, and you can spin by hand very easy, and this is created very good, nice, lofty. It was like feeling what warm shawl is famous for. Mm-hmm. And what else? You know, just like, just search on internet what can suit your budget, what can suit your taste, and what you like. Color, it's no subject. You can need any color what you want. Try to avoid black color to knit. Mm-hmm. Because it will be not pleasant. Nobody will be around you in this moment if you will make a couple mistakes. And also try to avoid in lace project, any lace. Doesn't matter what you will do. Variegated yarn. Mm-hmm. Because variegated yarn doesn't give this wonderful, you know, this like
the definition,
your
yeah.
definition, what you try to show to your or customer or to yourself. Mm-hmm. Because variegated yarn break all this rhythm of your yarn overs and two togethers. And that's it. And for future, I can tell you good luck with your good, nice hobby. It doesn't cost to you too much, just knitting needles and good yarn. And most important, it's maybe contradict my policy in booth, don't overload with yarn. Try to keep control how much yarn you have. Sometimes, you know, this like I have my experience. When I bought like 7-8 years ago yarn, just enough for sweater, and I was so glad to spend this money, very nice yarn. Few years later, when I was ready to knit something out of this yardage, I realized it's only half for my sweater because I extended my size. This means don't keep your yarn for several years. Just make sure you bought, you knitted. If this happened, your yarn didn't make full garment in 5 or 6 or 7 years, now you have yardage not enough for half of sweater. You have no choice how to find another pattern with bunch of holes. Because all this yarn overs and two togethers, it's actually safe yardage. Instead to make all solid stitches of your garment, just put some design with holes and you save a lot of yardage. And this is what, you know, this like lace about. Just not because I like lace. Oh, my women in Orenburg region like so much this bunch of holes. Because this is necessity and this is practical reason to use very expensive fleece to make out of this fleece best of best. because one goat can produce no more than 10 ounces of raw fiber a year. Mm-hmm. Like worm shawl weighs 1 pound. This means 16 ounces, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And all these 16 ounces, one goat cannot produce in 1 year. You need to collect at least from 2 different goats, if they're relatives in same color, mm-hmm. 2 years. And to make these felted boots, it's not practical from all these 2 goats. This means women adapted to use this fiber in certain way when they stretch this fiber, stretch this yardage in garment, what cost a lot of money, and cover somebody's shoulders with grace and dignity of this goat. And good luck. That's it.
I hope you enjoyed that as much as we did. If you have any questions or you want to find links to any of Galina's books or her workshops, we'll link to that in the show notes, which can be found at knitmoregirls.blogspot.com. If you have any comments, questions, or feedback, you can send those to us at knitmoregirls@yahoo.com. And you can find a link to our Ravelry group on the show notes page. Thank you to this week's show sponsors, Pearlescence Yarns and Verena Knitting, our supporters, and most importantly, you, our listeners. Remember to join us next week for our regularly scheduled podcast. As always, this is Jasmine
and Gigi
telling you to knit more lace.